The market, the economy, the pandemic, they have been making things difficult on companies and on investors. And if you want it, trouble's easy to find sometimes. But today we're going to dig deeper, and we're headed for the danger zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, where we're powered by the research done by New Constructs, where they evaluate securities differently. They dig in at the footnotes level and they work their way up. And it's particularly important in times like this because, well, as everything's been changing with the stock market and the economy, you get a lot of surface level stories. You know, this is something that's supposed to be good news, or this is supposed to help a company, or that's supposed to be bad news. And at New Constructs, they don't take too much at the surface level. When they see the surface level and everybody's thinking,
"You are so good looking,"
they are looking at it differently.
"Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?"
Yeah. If they find out that things aren't as attractive when they dig in at the footnotes level and work their way up, they find things that are misleading and working against investors, that's going to be a dangerous security. And by the way, it works the other way too, where occasionally they'll dig in and they'll find out that things are better than they appear. That is typically going to be something that's attractive. If you want to find out more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at newconstructs, and they blog about all of their danger zone picks. So if you need more information on anything we discuss, it is there and available to you. David Trainer is the founder and president at New Constructs. David, great to chat with you again.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Operating lease disclosures.
Danger, danger.
Okay, operating lease disclosures. Before we lose everybody, let's point out that what we're really talking about here is current events meets accounting rules changes, right? We've got the pandemic and the economy and what it's doing to companies and the changing of the workforce and what that's going to mean for leases. And then we've got the way companies are accounting for their leases and everything that they've got going on with property. So which is the bigger concern here, the economic side or the accounting side?
Actually, it has more to do with the change in accounting rules. Now, it is important in the pandemic to understand how people's operating leases and building and office leases will be changing potentially, but what we're talking about is a new rule that represents a change in accounting practices about off-balance sheet debt. And we've done danger zones, and it's been a while, but we would talk about how there's trillions of dollars of debt that's just hidden off-balance sheet because of a loophole. FASB recently attempted to change this loophole, and when I was part of the Investor Advisory Committee for FASB, the governing accounting body for U.S. exchange-traded companies, I helped them rewrite this rule to make sure that it wasn't going to be a disaster. But there's a limit to how much of a disaster you make something like this, because part of the reason this stuff was off-balance sheet is because there are assumptions that go into trying to quantify what's the liability related to this off-balance sheet debt is, because it's not a truly traditional form of debt. These things got complex, but at the end of the day, it's better to have something on balance sheet related to these debt items as opposed to a zero, which is where we had before. Now, the real issue is not so much that this is a bad rule. It's a good rule. It's a good change in the right direction. The problem is that a lot of companies are not complying with the rule. They're not disclosing all the information they're supposed to disclose, so they're effectively forcing investors to operate with incomplete information. The second problem here is that nobody else knows this. Right? FASB, they don't know what's going on. They ask me what these disclosures are. The SEC is supposed to enforce these things. They don't know what's going on. Why? Because they don't have tools to look at these things. Right? How often is the SEC or any regulator actually required to check the accuracy and completeness of annual reports and 10-Ks?
Is it on a regular schedule? I only thought they had to look if they thought that something was wrong.
It's not that bad. It's just once every 3 years, right? The point is, if you know nobody's looking at your filing, then what's your motivation to disclose everything you're supposed to disclose? You don't have any motivation. You don't have any need. And so as a result, because they're only looking a third of the time, companies gamble. And they say, well, you know, I mean, we're just not going to do that disclosure. And so investors are effectively left with less information than we even had before because companies aren't actually providing as much information, even in the footnotes, than they used to. We're the only firm that I know of that's actually going in and parsing all this stuff out. You know, whether it's disclosed on the balance sheet, which is best practices, or disclosed in a table in the footnotes, which is the next best, right? At least it's there. Sometimes it's not even in a table in the footnotes. It's buried in a paragraph in text. And then sometimes it's not disclosed at all.
how do I know that they're missing if nobody else seems to know that they're missing? And even if it's not willful on the part of companies, if it's just they don't understand the rules and what they've got to do, it makes it kind of tough for anybody to size up and say, ah, this is a situation where there's a bad lease disclosure.
There's no substitute, as I've said, you know, 1,000 times on your show, for doing your diligence and going through these footnotes. You know, you don't know what's missing until you look for it. That could happen on any page out of anywhere from, you know, 100 to 2,000 page long filing. There's no secret shortcut.
So where is this going to show up? Where is this going to smack people in the face and folks are going to wind up going, hold it, that's it, it's real right there?
Depends on the company. You know, so for example, a couple of the worst disclosures that we are highlighting in our report come from Two Harbors Investments, ticker TWO. You have to go to a table not directly related to operating lease to figure out what these obligations are, and that's deep in the footnotes. An example of a worst case disclosure is Janus Henderson Group, their sublease income. And a lot of times this sublease income, which is non-core to the business, right? Janus and Henderson is in the business of managing money. So sublease income is not something we want to take into account when looking at their operating profits, right? Mm-hmm. They typically use this sublease income to reduce SG&A. You can't figure this out until you go into the footnote and read out of a paragraph under a table that we sublease certain buildings in the UK and receive $7.3 million in income from that in the year 2019. Worst practice, Werner Enterprises, ticker WERN. Here, it's buried in the other on the balance sheet, but you can't figure out anywhere where. You don't know where it is on the balance sheet. So you don't understand where to break it out and understand it, even in the footnotes, because they just never give you that information. One of the most important things people need to be able to find is the future annual payments table. Altria Group, ticker MO, won't even break those out so that we can actually build a model to quantify the impact of off-balance sheet debt. And that was in their 2019 10-K. American Biomedia, ticker ABMC, they don't tell us the discount rate that they use to figure out what the net present value of all these payments are. So they could be using 50% so that the NPV, net present value, is super low. And one of the adjustments we have to make is to use a standard discount rate for finding the net present value of all these payments so that companies are treated sort of apples to apples. You don't have one company that shows a disproportionately lower liability and level of debt because they choose to discount those future payments at a really high rate. That's just the way they game the system. And we have to mitigate that in order to have models that are apples to apples and more accurate.
And of course, this happens across all industries, pretty much. Everybody could be in this boat, right?
That's correct.
Oh, it's scary stuff. And if you want to learn more about it, well, the place to go, newconstructs.com, where they do blog on their danger zone picks, and they have a report on bad lease disclosures, bad operating lease disclosures. You can get that information at newconstructs.com and follow them on Twitter at newconstructs. David Trainer is the founder and president of New Constructs. David, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Well, we are headed for home on the Monday, October 5th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's market call time. Rob Riley from PRW Wealth Management will be here. We'll be talking mutual funds and ETFs when Money Life rolls on right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.